Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom Bello.
All right, so let's start from the beginning. Signs of a growing faith. Number one, we said you make better choices. Number two, you have better character. Number three, love for the things of God. Number four, you embrace. Number four, embrace evangelism. Number five, become a role model. The number five, we said what? Become role model. Number six, sorry? Hatred for sin. Number seven, we said perseverance in adversity. Number eight, we said what? Slow to anger. Number nine, love for others. Number 10, increased rest, joy, peace. Number 11, less fear, less worry. Number 12. So we stopped at 11, right? So we stopped at 12 or 11. So 12 is less connected to the things of the world. You have a less connection to the things of the world. That's number 12. So number one, we said make better choices. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. And God expects us to mature in our predisposition towards things and life in the light of his word. Then number two, we said you have better character. Romans chapter 6 and verse 21, verse 23 all the way. And the Bible is clear that we have power over sin. We're not delivered only from the consequences of sin, but also from the power of sin. So the message of the grace of God is not complete when it speaks of your deliverance from the consequence of sin, but it also speaks of your deliverance from the power of sin. So every believer has the choice to do what is right. Amen, somebody. Then number three, we said love for the things of God. As you grow in God, you would have fewer prods to serve God or to do his work. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Psalms 1, verse 1. Then number 4, we said embrace evangelism. Number 5, you become a role model. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Then verse 6, it says hatred for sin. We said hatred for sin. The scripture we use there is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. For you have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, the Lord your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Then number 7, perseverance in adversity. One of the ways you know a growing believer is his ability to stay in the faith or be focused on Christ regardless of your circumstances. Then number 8. Please ask your neighbor, how well are you doing in all of these things? Yes, thank you, Nat. Ask your neighbor, give your neighbor an answer. How well are you doing? How are you growing? Give your neighbor an answer. Are you growing, yes or no? Be honest. Are you developing? Are you improving? Are you doing better? All right, then number 8, we said slow to anger. You become less touchy when you are growing in God. Number 9, we said that you have love for all the saints. Ever since I heard of your faith and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks and make mention of you in my prayers. Ever since I heard of your faith and your love for all the saints. One of the proof of the fact that you're born again is that you have love for all the saints. Praise God, somebody. And it also speaks of the fact that you have crossed from, the Bible says you've crossed from death to life because you love the brethren. Then number 10, increased rest, increased joy, your peace level, your joy level, your rest level. You operate from a place of rest. You never do anything from the place of anxiety or lack of trust or faith, all right? Because you are always in the place of rest. And this is an important place for you to be. Everything in the scripture points to your position in Christ and then your experience. So it's always good to interpret things that way. Where are you? First of all, your position and then your experience. You must never take your life outside the context of your position in Christ. Amen. Then number 10 now, or 11, we now said, less fear, less worry, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, where it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, for as he is, so are we in this world. Then it goes on to say that perfect love casts out all fears, right? So when fear is in your life, it means love has not been perfected in you. And we said something profound last Wednesday, that the way you deal with fear is not just to assume a false sense of boldness or courage. The way you deal with fear is to build it up by knowing how much God loves you. Because in the revelation of God's love, that's where faith is built. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's where courage comes. That's where confidence comes. You know, the Bible says something very important. It says in quietness and confidence, that's where your strength is. So it's important that your soul learns how to be still in God, regardless of where you are. Amen. Maybe some of you are even in that place right now where you need to still your soul. You know, man is tripartite. Your spirit is in a perpetual position of rest in God, but your soul, your mind, your emotions, your intellect, your will, you see, your perception, all of these things are connected very strongly to the world. And because you're a human being, you need to remind yourself over and over, this is where I stand in my dealings with God. This is how I stand when it comes to my peace, my rest, my joy. This is where I stand. You see, and in fact, if you live long enough, I remember a teaching I did, and I said, time just takes you on a natural tangent that it takes you away from God naturally. You know, just living, just existing takes you away from God. So if you're not intentional about life, you find out that you start to believe less. You start to doubt more. This is the reason why children are a bit fearless than you were. Did you remember when you were growing up and you enjoyed your driver speeding or your dad speeding, and now you got older and you can't stand 100 kilometers per hour? You can't. You know, I was driving one day and I was racing to the airport because one of my sisters was late, and then I was, please don't try it at home, amen. Did I say at home? Don't try it on the road. I was racing like 160. I love to speed. I was racing 160. And then I was just talking, having conversation with her. I realized she wasn't answering. She wasn't even replying me from the, all the while we were in town, it was a conversation. But the moment we got to the city gate, and then I started to blow straight to the airport, she ceased conversation. It was a one-way conversation. So I passed Dunamis, and then I just saw her face. Then she looked at me and said, Phil, you're freaking me out. I said, so I slowed down for her. But you see, when we're younger, she would enjoy speed. But I'm trying to say that the older you get, the more fearful you become. Because fear is a learned behavior. Anxiety is a learned behavior. Just by living, just by being around life, you become more fearful. But you see, you must always keep your heart. Let the word of God be your compass to redirect your heart, redirect your mind, so that you are less fearful. You are in a place of rest. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now verse 15, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. I'll talk about this point, less connection to the things of the world. Now, when you get born again, all right, one of the ways we know that you're growing is that your connection to the world begins to drop. I'll explain it, okay? I'll explain it. Your connection to the things of the world begins to drop. Before you got born again, there was a mind and there was a heart that was very firmly fitted in the world. It fit the world. It was a mind that was in sync with the direction of the world. Now you get born again, your mind needs to be renewed. Your spirit has been separated from the things of darkness, and now you are one in Christ. But there's the need for the renewal of your mind. Okay? So, signs of growth is that your connection towards the things of the world must drop. If not, you're not growing. You're not growing. Now it says, no, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. I'll show you. There are a few scriptures I'm going to read to you, and I'll bring clarity also to this thought. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, let's read it together. Are you ready? Okay, 1, 2, go. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I want us to meditate on this verse. You see, let's use the NLT version so we can break it down. We'll use NLT, we'll use Message. All right? Do not love this world or the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. So there are two loves here that are in competition. All right? There are two loves, the love of the Father and the love of the world. So if you grow in the love of the Father, the love of the world will be choked out. But if you're growing in the love of the world, the love of the Father will be choked out. Now, mind you, the Bible here did not say, do not love this world, nor the things in the world. For if you love the world, you do not have the... Go to the King James Version. The King James, this is a translation. The King James Version puts it better. I want to show you a difference. Now, it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible did not say, the love of the Father is not in the Father. The Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. So it's one thing for the love of the Father to be from the Father, and it's another thing for the love of the Father to be understood or received by you. Do you get where I'm coming from? Okay, so it means that you don't understand the love of the Father. If the love of the world is growing stronger, it means the love of the Father is a less revelation to you. And it doesn't mean that the Father loves you less. It means that the love of the Father is not just in you. Doesn't mean that the Father's love has reduced intensity. No. So, but let's see the Message translation. The Message translation. Don't love the world's ways. Now it's becoming clearer, right? Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out. Remember what I told you now. Squeezes out love for the Father. So when people are very particular about the things of the world, especially trends, I like to use your language, you get, so that you understand things better. If you are carried away by the lifestyle, Pastor Victor, come and take your seat. You're carried away by the lifestyle of worldly things, all right? A way of doing things by the world. Eventually, you would have less love for the Father. It's just a principle. Now, let me go further in the explanation. By the world, he refers to the world's systems and the world's values that are anti-Christ. I will tell you what the love of the Father... No, I'll tell you what the love of the world is and what the love of the world is not. Are you with me? All right. Now, the organized satanic system that is opposed to God and hostile to Jesus and his followers. That's what we mean when we say the love of the world. Peter, are you smiling? What's the meaning of that smile? Eh? Peter, why are you smiling? Okay. All right. Please, nobody should tension me here now. Nobody. Praise God. I don't even know why it's now I'm teaching on this subject. All right, so let's keep going. Praise God. Phil, focus. Now, you no longer seek the approval or the affection of the world anymore. We're going to make that a confession. I no longer seek the approval or the affection of the world anymore. So that means that your sense of acceptance and approval doesn't come from a world system. Okay? I remember a time I was preaching one day and I said, some of you, when you travel to some places, you come back, you're not the same. That's because there is an environment. There's an environment that chokes your faith and you're not sensitive to it. You see, whether we like it or not, social media has become a nation. And if you are consumed by social media, you will find out that your value system might be subconsciously built by social media and the people who are your inspiration on social media. So you must be careful that the love of the world is not, I would explain the love of the world, is not deeming the love of the Father in your life. Now, when we say the love of the world, I'll show you a scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, so that you have proper understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexual immoral people. Verse 10, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexual immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. So Paul is saying that when I say don't keep company with sexual immoral people, I'm not talking about sexual immoral people in the world. I'm talking about sexually immoral people in the church. Do you get the point? Yes, because his discipline was basically to church folk. He was addressing the state of the church, but not the state of the world. Because we're meant to love the world. No, we're meant to love the people of the world. So love not the world does not mean hate the people. But he says hate the system. Hate what it offers. Hate what it brings to you. Hate the things that it offers you. The ways that are anti-Christ and anti-God. That's what he's saying. Let's use the NLT version so it's clearer. Go back to verse 9. NLT version, verse 9. Fantastic. It says, when I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. Verse 10. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. So that's not what Paul is saying. So when we say love not the world, we're not saying hate people of the world. Is that the first clarity? Okay, good. So to love not the world is not about the people, but it's about the ways, it's about the system. For God so loved the world that he, what? Gave his only begotten son that whosoever, what? Believes in him should not perish. Alpha, we don't... Glory. So please, let's take a glory break. I beg. I use God, beg all of you. Come on, glory. Go. Let me tell you what not loving the world. Let me tell you what it does not mean. So it does not mean, number one, to not love people of this world. We've established that, right? And we use 1 Corinthians 5 verse 9 to establish that. Then number two, it does not mean use not the things of this world. That's not what it's saying. So, for example, entertainment, clothes, gold, money, these are things of the world. Doesn't mean that because you don't love the world, you can't use these things. Entertainment is actually meant to be used for the good news, for the gospel. Do you remember that part of Colossians that says to reconcile all things to God? Do you remember that scripture? I think it's Colossians 1, it's from 15 all the way down. I'm not sure. Someone check for it for me. To reconcile all things to God. Now, the Bible did not say to reconcile all people. It says to reconcile all things. So what is being reconciled to God is not just people, but things. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you sure you're following me? Yes, so what are we reconciling to God? People or things? So all things include what? People. So people are getting born again. Things are also reconciled to God. So one of the things to reconcile to God is entertainment. Everything, every sector, every system. Education, religion, politics and governance. We're reconciling all things. Until the kingdom of this world shall have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Are you with me, somebody? All right, so it does not mean to not use the things of this world. That's an extreme. Because some people can say, okay, love not the things of this world. Then you dress shabbily, you dress... Do you understand? There was a denomination. Amen. We don't need to go there. But if you want to go to the extreme and miss the context to which the Bible is speaking, you can just... Anybody who interprets things by its excess is a mischievous person. What I just said is very deep. Now, anybody who interprets things by its excess is a mischievous person. I'll give you an example. Just because you want to correct the errors of, let's use giving, for example. You want to correct the errors of giving, doesn't mean you should attack giving altogether. If you want to correct the excess of, what again, social media. We've been talking about social media lately. How you should stay, we learn to stay away and increase your devotion. And be careful with the influence of social media. Doesn't mean you attack social media altogether. So when you are dealing with things, you must learn not to deal with things from extreme to extreme. You must always learn to stay in the balance of things. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so when a pastor is preaching and he's condemning something, you must understand that he's not condemning the essence of the thing, but he's condemning the extreme of the thing. Amen. So we must come to balance moderation in the use of the things of this world. That the things of this world must be used in moderation and not in excess. We're going to break it down. We'll break it down. Now, I just gave you two things that mean or that says what loving the world is not, right? Now, let me tell you what loving not the world means. Number one, it means love not the way of sin or the systems of sin in the world. That's number one. And number two, it means do not become idolatrous. Or if you want to say idolatrous, don't make an idol out of things towards the things in the world. So you see, idol, too, when something becomes an idol, that means it's an extreme already. Okay? If it becomes an idol, it becomes a replacement of God. An idol is always a replacement. An idol is always something that chokes God's love out and establishes itself. So if there is something in the world that you have made an idol out of, it means that the love of the Father is not revealed in that aspect in your life. So love not the things of the world. Can we say that together? Love not the things of the world, neither the things that are in the world. But say with me, say the love of the Father is established in me. So God's love is not reducing, but your understanding of the love of the Father is what increases. Your revelation increases. And the things of the world, the loving of the things of the world is dealt with. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. There was someone, you know, I met someone and this lady was born again. But I knew that the love of the world was still in this lady. So I counseled the lady. I spoke to her. I said, listen, if your eyes are still set on the things of the world, you would never see God as your only option. He will be an option. He will be, in fact, most likely option number two to you. Because how can your ambition, how can your striving be to have what the people of the world have? And if you don't have it, you are not in fulfillment. Meanwhile, when it comes to your divine assignment, it is nowhere in the scheme of your thoughts. Or it's not in any place that you think about. You don't think about it. You don't think about purpose. You don't think about God's call. You don't think about benefiting God's people or doing what God has called you to do. You see, but all your mind is to be rich, to have straight bone, to have bone straight. To have bone straight. All your dream in life is that you must get that car. Is that you must have that house. That's your dream. That's what you live for. Is that you must have a good life. In fact, the good life is more important to you than God. So it's an imbalance. It's an imbalance. Are you with me? This is what a lot of people don't like to hear today. So this message keeps you in moderation, and it keeps the things of God in a healthy perspective, or should I say, it prioritizes the things of God for you so that you are in perspective and you are not deviating from place to place. You're not a misfit. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's see the Message version. We'll see Message, then we'll see Amplified version. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Come on, somebody. I hope this is not you. Instead, read it now. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognized what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to His level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So when you talk about the best in you, maturity in you, it must talk about your less connection to the world. You are less connected to the things of the world. What trips the world doesn't trip you. What moves the world doesn't move you. It's not as if you don't have it, though. But you know they shock you like that. Do you get what I'm saying? So in the having, there's moderation in the having. And when I talk about moderation, I don't even mean the amount. I mean the state of your heart. The connection of how, because moderation does not mean don't be very rich. Moderation means that even as you are very rich, your heart is not lost in the riches. That's moderation. Amen, somebody. Amen. So we must be careful that we're not caught in that web of the world. Sound man, still help me a bit. So he says, don't become so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you. Now look at this part where it says readily recognize what He wants from you. Do you know that anybody who is too connected to the world cannot readily recognize? You will not. In fact, you'll be thinking God is dragging things with you. That will be your interpretation. You'll be feeling God is trying to take a place of convenience and to inconvenience you. That's how you see things. So you will not be readily adjusting to the things of God. Another way he puts it there, he says, unlike the culture around you, which always drags you or is always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Today you are up, tomorrow you are down. Spiritually fervent today, cold tomorrow. Fervent today, cold tomorrow. How can you be a Christian who is blowing hot and cold? Let me tell you the truth. Any believer that is blowing hot and cold has an attachment to the things of the world. Take it from me. Take it from me. Any believer, what did I say? Any believer that blows what? Hot and cold has one. It may not be many, but there must be one. There is something that is attaching him. If it's not money, it might be women, it might be men, it might be a job, it might be the love for something or a lifestyle. And you know this thing, I found out that this thing just drives people into a pretentious lifestyle. Some people just try to be what they are not, just because of love for the world. You know, you just see a lot of people online, on social media. Now, I'm suspecting people who overpost. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you are overposting to make an impression, you don't need to overpost. You don't need to post anything to make an impression. If you're not, do you understand? So you must be delivered from a system of this world. That's what I'm trying to let you understand. Somebody say amen. Amen. So don't let anything drag you down to a level of immaturity. And when God is supposed to bring the best out of you, you are conforming to an immature level. Somebody say amen. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Let's start from verse 1. Verse 1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Are we together now? So he says, you seek the things that are above, not the things that are under. Seek the things that are above. Then verse 2 continues to teach or tell us, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that... So what does verse 1 tell us? It says seek. Then verse 2 says set. So your seeking is a pursuit. You are everly pursuing the things of God. Always. Please, if you're not pursuing the things of God, you are pursuing something else. You will never be neutral. You will never be neutral. Just when you think you are in a place of neutrality, that neutrality is a deception. Your heart is going somewhere. And you know, sometimes worry, the real explanation of worry can be that your heart is on something that is not panning out and no longer on God. That thing has become an idol for that moment. So you must make sure that there is an everly continuous, constant pursuit of the things of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Leave my baby alone. No, he's well with that baby. I'm in a very good mood today. Nigeria is winning. Praise God. So after we do seek, then number 2 now says what? Set. What does set mean? Let's see the Message version. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things on the earth. Don't shuffle along. Eyes to the ground. Absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from this perspective. So he says, set your eyes, set your mind, be set. So this is what I always tell people. Whenever things push you to a place and you say, Pastor, it's pressure. I agree it's pressure. But the pressure came to a mind that was not set. So the mind has to be made up. You see, if you don't set your mind, you don't know what you will encounter. Some of you don't know how you behave when you get money. A lot of people are humble today because money not there. If I give you 10 million naira now, if I, you look at me, Pastor Phil, come here. I'm telling you, some of you think you are humble. Just let God bless you. That's when we really know. But you are humble in Jesus' name. Amen. But you see, when a mind is set, somebody say set. When your mind is set, nothing can surprise it. Nothing can surprise a set mind. I think we should tweet that. That's a good one. Nothing can what? Surprise a set mind. Nothing can bully a set mind. Nothing can, that's good. Nothing can intimidate a set mind. Nothing can pressure a set mind. Praise God. So you must set your mind. It happened, my mind is on God. It does not happen, my mind is on God. Just set your mind. One of my darling sisters called me from the US yesterday and she says she's preparing for an exam. And anytime she reads, she's having panic attack because she's writing the, what do you call the American bar exam? What do you call it? Sorry? Okay, the bar exam you write. Yes. So after she writes it, she becomes, an American legal practitioner by law. But anytime she, there's so much to read. Anytime she reads, panic attack. And I told her, I said, calm down. First of all, what's the worst that can happen? She said, I fail. I said, when you fail, if you fail, what will happen? She said, I write it again. I said, so will you die? She said, no. I'm trying to get you somewhere I'm going, you know. So don't give up on this conversation. Don't judge me yet. Just listen. I said, will you die? She said, no. I said, will God stop loving you less? She said, no. I said to her, I said, what's the worst that can happen? I said to her, I said, does this outcome of the exam, listen to me, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I said, does this outcome of the exam stop where God is taking you? You know, sometimes you have to think in a certain way to help your mind. Does the outcome of this exam stop where God is taking you? It's just like you are in a plane and the plane is moving afford. You are on business class. You are going back to the toilet. You are going back inside the plane. But in reality, you are moving forward. So when the Bible says you are on a highway of holiness, the issue is not your leg on the road. The matter is the road. You don't understand what I'm saying. So the highway of holiness is the way that is taking you. It's not your leg. So to him who is able to keep us from falling. So it's not what you are doing. So I never use outcomes in life, even if Nigeria did not win. Even if Nigeria did not win today. I know say we don't win. But see, understand the way I think, and I want you guys to think that way. It will help you. Listen to me. I never use outcomes to judge God's destination. I don't do it. If you know, one of the ways you know me, if you say you know Pastor Phil, to know me does not mean you know the kind of things I like to wear. No, that's not knowing me. Knowing me knows how I think. That you are able, you understand how Pastor Phil thinks. That's what it means to know me. And one of the ways people, you know me, I'm telling you what it is. First of all, I don't believe I get stranded in life. You see, I can never. That's number one. Number two, I don't believe that any outcome can change God's destination for me. I don't believe it. I believe that God can use anything. Somebody say amen. So I told her, I said, what's the worst? She said to me, it's true. I don't even know why I'm afraid. You know what fear is? Fear is a false perception of something that is not real. That's fear. That's why I keep saying many times to people that what you're afraid is actually afraid of you. Because if the devil needs fear, it means he's not powerful. The deep minds will get what I just said once. The devil does not need fear if he's powerful. Jimmy Joe, do you get it? Jimmy Joe is laughing. I don't need to make you afraid if I'm very strong. I will just kill you. But because I am not strong, I need to compromise you by making you afraid first. Now your fear breaks your defense. So I told her, what's the worst that can happen? So you must make sure that you are not in worry, but you are in perpetual rest. Talk to me, somebody. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Let me show you something there. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. What does it say? And regardless of what? No, Galatians 6, 14. Use the King James Version. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord. Let's read it together. One, two, go. That I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Do you understand what this is saying? It means that there is nothing I like in the world. But that's not where it stops. It also means that there is nothing the world likes in me. So, if the world is in love with you and comfortable with you, you should check something. Check it. Look, let's read this again. Let's read it one, two, go. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So it means that there is, come on, amen. It means that there is nothing about the world that is my attraction. And many of you need to grow that way. You need to develop yourself that way. Some of you go to places and you see people who are not born again. Because of the things they have, you get intimidated. You lose your standing. You forget who you are. You think they have something more than you have. When I was in school, right? Because of the nature of my school, then it was probably the 1, 2, 3 private universities in Nigeria at the time. not so many private universities had come. So a lot of wealthy Nigerians had their children in that school. Now, at the time, I did not even have a car in school. But do you know, not for one day did I feel that I was less than those who had things that I did not have. Not for one day. Do you know why I felt that way? Because I felt I had a gospel. I had a knowledge of God that they did not have. So I always saw myself as me needing to help them. I always felt like they are the ones who need help. With how much you have, you still need my help. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you are never intimidated by anything or anybody. Praise God. So the world must not find anything that it loves about you. In fact, there's a promise. There's something that is explicitly said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13. All right? So don't be surprised if the world hates you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world what hates you. So don't feel bad. Don't feel like you're not getting something right. No, it's about your culture. The world does not like your culture. That's why it hates you. That's why it doesn't love you. So don't seek to be loved by the world. Don't seek to be approved by the world. Let your approval come from Christ and Christ alone. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right. So what verse are we now? Or what have we done? Colossians 3:2? Yes. Galatians 6:14. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. We haven't done that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4, it says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So you don't entangle. Somebody say, don't entangle. I like the word he uses here where he says, entangle. Entangle means that you are choked by the things of the world. Don't be entangled by the things of the world. Praise God, somebody. So I pray for everybody in TSB that the love of the Father will grow in our hearts more and more in the name of Jesus. I pray that the love of the world will not be, it will be choked out. It will be wiped out of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you will stand perfect in God's will. I pray that the love of the world will not find its way into your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Next week, I'm going to show you, because that verse I read, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it goes on to say, what are the things of the world? The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and what?
Pride
of life. I would explain it for you. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Do you know that these three things were found in the temptation of both Adam and Jesus? But I will show you next week. Praise God. Oh, he says, I boast solely in the cross of Christ. Solely in the cross of Christ. Because I am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. Amen.
Amen.
So bow down your heads and pray and say, Father, let the love of the Father in me grow daily. Let the love of the Father in me be stronger. Let the love of the Father in me wax greater and greater until I no longer have an attachment, a hold on the things of the world, that the things of the world are no longer my default setting. The things of the world have become choked out in my life. Open your mouth and pray. Nothing becomes an idol in your life. Nothing becomes an idol in your life. Nothing becomes an idol in your life. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that you may be effective as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That you don't have an idol. You don't have something you serve rather than God. You don't have something you pursue rather than Christ. But you are set on the things of God. Pray for yourself. Pray for your heart. Pray for your heart. That the Lord will keep your heart in his love daily. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you hear our prayers. For in Jesus' name we pray. Now clap your hands and give God praise. Glory, 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 glory.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.